This week's parsha is the double parsha Chukas Balak, but as we usually do, the halacha is that when there's a double parsha, we read the haftorah of the second of those two parshios, and therefore the haftorah this week is the haftorah of Parshas Balak, which comes from Sefer Micha, Perek He, and into Perek Vav. Some of Perek He and some of Perek Vav. And the background to the Navi is we are discussing in the Navi Micha, who lived before the Churban Bayis Rishon, he is discussing what's going to be La'asid Lava, when the ultimate Geula will arrive, and the battle of Gog and Magog, the coming of Mashiach, Jews in Galus. So he's discussing that context in the Psukim that we will be seeing here right now. So in Perek He, Pasuk Vav, the Navi tells us, and the first three psukim will take as a unit. The Navi says, "V'haya she'eris Yaakov bekerev amim rabim," the remnants of Klal Yisrael, those who survive throughout the Golus, find themselves living amongst the nations. They will be ketal me'es Hashem kirvivim alei esev. The Bnei Yisrael will be compared to dew that comes from God and like rain upon the grass. Now, why and in what way are Klal Yisrael at that time of the end of Galus and the coming of Mashiach and the beginning of the Geula, in what way will they be like dew or like rain? So, the second half of the pasuk then tells us, Asher lo yikavel ish v'lo yiachel livnei adam, that no man looks to another man for the rainfall. Everyone appreciates, everyone recognizes that rain, that dew, comes exclusively from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's it. There's no other source for the rainfall. And so perhaps Neshav Gamliel Rabinovitz takes this approach. What the Navi is telling us is that Klal Yisrael at that time amongst the Goyim will come to that realization and bitachon. Just as rain is straight from God, there's no other person to turn to ask for rain, so too, everything they have, all their blessings in life, they'll recognize are from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's perhaps what the pasuk means, that Klal Yisrael at that time will recognize everything is like rain, everything is like tal. It's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All our blessings are from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the pasuk speaks of a greater appreciation, sensitivity of emuna and bitachon that Klal Yisrael will be zocha to at that time, la'asid lavo. The Malbim adds a bit of a different twist, an interesting idea. He says that the pasuk is telling us that the Bnei Yisrael at that time will be to the nations in which they are living like dew, like rain. In other words, Klal Yisrael will become a source of blessing for those countries that host Klal Yisrael and allow Bnei Yisrael to live in their midst throughout the Gulf. Klal Yisrael will be a source of blessing for those nations. We look back at Jewish history, you know, the Golden Age of Spain, when the Jewish population in Spain contributed to the arts and culture and philosophy, literature of Spain. Or look even now, more recent times, how many Jewish Nobel Prize winners are there in various different countries? So often it is the Jews who are a source of blessing to the nation that hosts them, even in ways that they will appreciate, the Goyim will appreciate. And of course, I'm sure there is far greater blessing that is more ruchnius in nature, that as a result of Klal Yisrael being in a particular country, that country is zochet to those blessings. But according to the Malbim, this is what the pasuk means, that Klal Yisrael will be to their host nation, bekerav amim rabim, like tal, like revivim, like dew, like rain, will be a source of blessing for those nations that are fortunate enough to host us in their midst throughout the Golus. Then Pasuk Zion tells us, V'haya she'eris Yaakov bagoyim, the remnants of Yaakov in the nations, bekerav amim rabim, they will be amongst the many nations. And the comparison now is, ke'arye be'vahamos ya'ar, ke'kfir be'edretzon, like a larger lion, an older lion in its encounter with animals of the forest, or like a kfir, a younger lion, in its encounters with flocks of sheep. Asherim avar v'ramas v'tarach v'ein matzil. The lion will trample, tear apart The animals can't defend themselves against the far more powerful lion. And so, whereas in the first pasuk, the Navi compared Klal Yisrael amongst the nations to the rain, to the dew, now the pasuk is comparing Klal Yisrael amongst the nations to the lion against the animals that it encounters. In other words, a reference to Klal Yisrael being superior and overcoming, overpowering all of their enemies. And the third pasuk in this unit of Psukim spells that out. Tarom yadcha al tzarecha v'kolei vecha yukaresu. You, God, your hand will be raised over your enemies. All your enemies will be cut down. This suggests, Rav Gamliel ben Avitz, is the result of the first pasuk, which he translated to mean Klal Yisrael's bitachon, Klal Yisrael's recognition that everything is Yad Hashem. When we reach that madrega of bitachon and emunah, that everything is b'dei shemayim, as a result, we'll be zochet to overcome our enemies. That will be the result of our bitachon, the result of our emunah, that will be zochet to then be like the lions encountering our enemies. So these are the first three psukim that begin the Haftarah, and this is the opening unit, if you will, that sets the tone for Klal Yisrael's state of affairs in terms of their emunah, the bitachon, in terms of their encounter with their enemies at this future stage, at the end of Golas, the beginning of the Geula. This is what the psukim are describing here now. Now we move on to the next series of psukim. And even in the Navi, there's a paragraph break here. And the next series of psukim, which we'll look at, Pasuk Tes through Pasuk Yedaled, all follow, again, one theme. And what is that theme? So, and this will take us to the end of Perek Hei. The Navi now says, V'haya bayomahu no mashem. It will be at that time, on that day, says God. V'hichratisu secha mikerbecha. I will cut down your horses. V'ha'avadati markavosecha. I will destroy your chariots. V'chrati oreyotzecha. I will cut down the cities. V'harasti komivtzrecha. I'll break down your fortresses. Now, this sounds pretty terrible. It sounds like this is a terrible punishment that the Navi is predicting. And yet, if one looks at Rashi, one looks at Radak, when they speak of what the pasuk means here, when it says, V'hechrati arei artzecha, I will cut down your cities, Rashi says, you know why? Because you will no longer need these fortified cities. Or as Radak says, the pasuk is talking about those cities that are surrounded by walls on all sides. You won't need those walls anymore. Why not, says the Radak? Because shalom yihi elohem, you'll have peace. You won't need these fortifications. So what's interesting is look at this psukim and your first initial reaction is, oh my gosh, this is terrible. This is horrendous. And once again, Rabbanovitz notes that if you were listening to the Navi predict this is what's going to happen, or you would just see this happening, you might initially be horrified and appalled and sick with worry. This is a terrible, destructive kind of prophecy. But if you see a little deeper beyond the surface, you see what Rashi is telling you, what Radak is telling you, why this is happening. Because you won't need those fortifications. You'll have peace. Who needs this? You'll appreciate that this is really a bracha, a tremendous blessing. And he suggests that is so true with regard to Golos in general, with regard to Yisurim even. Sometimes we look at events that happen and transpire from the surface only. We can't see past the surface. And we're appalled, we're horrified, we're distressed, we're worried, we're so concerned. It looks terrible, it looks horrible. But when one has this close to the ability, the opportunity to look back, perhaps from a bigger perspective, see past the superficial events to see why this is happening. So much like in these psukim, you won't need the fortifications, you don't need the horses, you don't need the chariots. There'll be peace in the world. You won't have to worry about them anymore. Horses and chariots are weapons for war. You won't need war. Then you appreciate this is all for our benefit. So that, he says, is perhaps the message here, the musr in these psukim. Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'hichrati kshafim miyadecha u'me'onanim lo yihiyu lach. I will cut down the kishuf, that black magic. The ma'onanim, those who divine divinations, you know, this time is best for this time is best for that. I will cut them down. And here also, this is more obvious. The Metzudas David writes, because when you, Klal Yisrael, will see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand in creation so clearly, you won't bother with this stuff. Kishuf, ma'onen, or mechashef, who needs that? We see Yad Hashem so clearly. We don't need to turn to anybody else for direction or for guidance. You won't need that again. You'll be so close to Kodesh Baruch Hu that will be deemed unnecessary, and you'll recognize the fraudulent nature of it. The next pasuk Yibei is the same idea. V'chrati psilacha u'matzevos sacham mekerbecha. I'll cut down the idols, the matzevos, the monuments. V'loseshtacha ve'od l'maisi adecha. You won't bow anymore to that which you yourself create with your own handiwork. Or pasuk Yigimel. V'natashti asherecha mekerbecha v'shmarati arecha. I will cut down the trees that they would worship from among you. And all of this, once again, the last line concludes, Veshmarati Arecha, which the Rashi explains means, I will destroy your enemies. Destroy your enemies. So all of these psukim speak of, you won't yourselves have any interest any longer in psilim, in matzevos, in asherah, in worshiping other forces or other gods, because you will recognize there is nothing else other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is no other force in the world other than Yad Hashem alone. You won't need it, you will reject it yourself. So this is all a blessing, if you will, of what will happen when Klal Yisrael reaches that madrega of that added devekus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, one added an interesting ha'ara that Rav Gamliel ben Avot suggests. He says as follows. The psukim here speak of cutting down the mivtzarecha, the fortifications around the cities. He suggests, interestingly enough, that there might be an allusion here to another idea we find in Chazal, in the Navi Yechezkel, Perek Dalid, and that is the following. The Gemara in Brachos on Daf Amid Beis tells us that during the Golos period, after Churban Beis HaMikdash, there will be a Chomas Barzel, a partition of iron, of metal, that descends between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says, the words are, Amid Beis, Amid Beis, the Omar Rabbi Elazar, Miyom Shacharav, Beis HaMikdash, Nifsika Chomas Barzel. From the day of the Churban, this iron wall, this iron partition was extended between Klal Yisrael and their father in heaven. And the Navi bases that on the Pasuk in Yechezkel, in Perek Dalet, where Yechezkel is told to take a machvas barzel, a utensil of iron, v'nasata osa, and place it, kir barzel, like an iron wall, between you and the city. So here we find the Gemara is speaking of this prophecy Yechezkel was given to put this iron wall between him and the city. The Gemara says that symbolizes the iron partition that exists between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu after the Churban. And here suggests Rav Gamliel ben Avot, the Pasuk in Micha is telling us this week's Haftorah, that those fortifications, those walls will come down. Meaning, as we approach the Geula, as we approach the end of the Golus, that separation that distanced us from a closer relationship with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be torn down. And once that iron curtain, to use the modern phrase, is removed, then Klal Yisrael, like we've been describing, will be seeing a Kadosh Baruch Hu so much more clearly in their lives, and we will develop a much closer relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu as a result. So this again is how Rav Gamliel ben Avot sees these psukim, perhaps describing the tearing down of the fortifications of the walls around the cities, to be expressing an opportunity that is available to us now to develop a much closer kesher with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, because we see the Yad Hashem so much more clearly now as we are toward the end of Galus and the beginning of Geula. We now move on. The Navi now segues into Perek Vav in Sefer Micha. And again, a paragraph break here in the klaf, in the way the Sefer Navi is written, indicates like a bit of a pause, a bit of a break, a bit of a transition into a bit of a different focus. And what the focus is now is the following. The Navi now, in Perek Vav, Pasuk Aleph, begins with a call that the Navi is conveying a message, as it were, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael. And the message is like this. Shimu na Eis Asher Hashem Omer. Listen to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying. And what is the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to the B'nai Yisrael? Kum Riv, arise and debate. Es haharim, allow the mountains to hear what you have to say. V'tishmana hagvaos kolacha, allow the hills to hear your voices. Rashi, based on Chazal, understands the harem to be the avos, the forefathers. But it's a challenge, essentially, to Klal Yisrael to say your piece. In other words, Kadosh Baruch Hu is challenging Klal Yisrael. What is the challenge? Here it is. In Pasuk Beis, Shimu harim esriv Hashem v'ho'esanim mos de'aretz. Listen, mountains, to what God has to present or argue, and the mighty ones, the mighty mountains that are the most de aretz, they form the stronghold of the earth. So listen now to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to challenge Klal Yisrael with. And here's the challenge, the divine vikuach, if you will, says as follows. Kiriv Lashem im Amo v'im Yisrael Yisvakach. God has an argument with his people, with Klal Yisrael. He's going to debate them. He's going to argue with them. And here comes the Pasuk Gimel, the argument that Kadosh Baruch Hu, or the challenge that Kadosh Baruch Hu poses to Klal Yisrael. And that is as follows. Ami me'asisi lecha, my people, tell me, what have I done for you? Me'asisi lecha, what have I done for you? Meaning, Rashi explains, this is a God's challenge to us. Be makar tov, look at all the good I've done for you. Pay attention, think about it. And on the other flip side of the coin, the Pasuk says, Uma hel esicha, and in what way have I burdened you, made you weary, tired you out with my service that I have imposed upon you? Anebi, speak up, answer me, say it. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is challenging Klal Yisrael. To one hand, appreciate the Hakaras HaTov that we owe Kadosh Baruch Hu for all the good he's done for us. And then the challenge, in what way have I imposed a burden on you with my Avodas Hashem? And the next two psukim now describe all the good God has done for us. Ki ha'eli sicha me'eretz Mitzrayim, I took you out of Egypt. Me'beis avodim p'disicha, I redeemed you from house of slavery. Va'eshlach lefanechas Moshe Aaron and Miriam, I sent before you Moshe and Aharon and Miriam. Each one a leader of Klal Yisrael, and in whose zechus we were zocha to man ananya kavod be'er mayim. Then pasuk hey, and here the clear reference to our parsha, hence the connection between the haftarah and the parsha. Ami zechorna mayatz Balak melech Moav. Remember what Balak plotted to do, to have Bilam curse us. Ume'ana oso Bilam ben ba'orin. What did Bilam respond? Bilam responded, ma ekov. Lo kabo kel, what can I curse if God hasn't allowed me to curse? So remember how Balak tried to have us cursed and how God did not let Bilam do so. Min ashitim ara gilgal, from the shitim where Rasha's Klal Yisrael sinned against the Kadosh Baruch Hu by worshipping Peor, ara gilgal until Gilgal, which is where they came when they entered into Eretz Yisrael. Think back to all of those events. Lamandas Sidkos Hashem, that you should appreciate the righteousness, the kindness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the Navi is challenging us to think back, to constantly be makar tov to Kadosh Baruch Hu for all of the historical miracles he has performed for us, not just in our lifetime, but clearly going back generations and generations. Now, what's so fascinating here, Rav Pam Zatzal points out on the Pasuk Umma Hel Esicha. God challenges us, how have I made you weary? How have I burdened you? How have I tired you out with my Avodas Hashem? And Rav Pam quotes a beautiful Medrash Rabbah from this week's Parsha. The Medrash Rabbah says, it's in Parshas Balak, on the Pasuk which says, Vayishlach Malachim. And Moshe Benu sent messengers. So the Medrash describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed miracles for Klal Yisrael, And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Klal Yisrael, I redeem you, I do miracles for you, and you rebel against me. And the Medrash now quotes this pasuk in Haftarah, Maha Elisicha. And the Medrash says, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking us is, Ma Trachtilach, how have I burdened you? You'll tell me, says the Medrash, well, you've made us bring karbanos. So the Medrash says, God tells us, the animals I've asked you to bring karbanos from are the shor, the seh, the izim. These are domesticated animals. I haven't told you to go out to the mountains and to find the ayol, the tzvi, the achmur, all these mountain goats. I've only asked you to bring karbanos of those that you have in your backyard, essentially. Not animals you have to go tracking down and hunting after. So even when it comes to karbanos, says the Medrash, even the choice of animals was designed so that it's not a burden. It's readily available to us. It's readily done. Mr. Palm says it's a very important mussar, how so often we may be inclined to look upon Avodas Hashem as burdensome, restrictions, tiring, but the truth is, the fact that, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, HaTorah does, Halacha does, guide us from birth until death, every step of the way. There is rituals, there are halachos, from bris to bar bas mitzvah, to chasana, to levaya, to avelos, and everything in between. Every step of one's life is monitored and guided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, by halacha. One could look at it as if it's so restrictive. Shabbos can be viewed as, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do anything. Or it can be viewed as every moment in life is meaningful, is fulfilling, is objective-driven, is goal-driven, is given spiritual purpose, such that one doesn't have to go looking for arbitrary thrills in life to earn any sort of sense of fulfillment or meaning or satisfaction, because every day is meaningful. Every day is infused with such spiritual meaning. That when one goes to work, which for the average person out there is such a schlep, such a bore, such a burden. And yet for Klal Yisrael, when we do so, l'shem shemayim, b'chol drachach ha-do'eu, that itself is viewed as avodas Hashem. So everything is infused with meaning. Never look at Judaism as if it's a burden, ma'hel yisicha. Rather, we should appreciate the blessing that it is for us. And finally, pasuk vav, pasuk zayin, moving on to the last three pesukim of the Haftarah. Now Klal Yisrael responds to the Navi. And Klal Yisrael says, Bama akadem Hashem ikaf lelokei maram. So how am I supposed to now approach God? How am I supposed to signal my submission to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? In other words, yes, we acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done so much good for us throughout our history. So in what way does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want me to now approach him, to express my submission to him? What kind of gift, so to speak, should I give a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Ha'akad menu be'olos ba'agolim b'nei shana. Should I bring as a gift to God these offerings, sacrifices, calves? Ha'yirtza Hashem ba'alfei elim b'rivavos nachle shaman. You think God wants me to bring thousands of rams and rivers of oil, referring to the menachos, which were mixed with oil? Ha'atein b'chori pish'i. Does God want me to bring a carbon for my sins? Is that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants? I appreciate that, Karas Tov, to not be saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done so much good for me. I recognize that. So what now do I do to express that? How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want me to demonstrate my appreciation? And this, the famous concluding pasuk of the Haftarah, there's one pasuk that people know from the Haftarah, this is it. Higid lecha adam matov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you, oh man, what is good for you to do? Uma Hashem doresh mimcha. And what is it that God seeks from you? In response to your question, how do we express our kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What does God want from us? What gifts do we bring God? Here it is. Ki'im, just the following. Only this. Asos mishpat. That's to conduct ourselves with integrity, with justice, with mishpat, we know refers often to choshen mishpat, to just laws in a monetary interaction, to be a person of integrity, a person of honesty. Asos mishpat, live a life of justice, of truth. The ahavas chesed, and a love of chesed, a love of chesed. Notice the contrast. Asos mishpat, perform justice, and then the ahavas chesed, the love of chesed, which implies you can't get enough of it. You're pursuing chesed constantly. So asos mishpat says the Malbim means ben adam chaveru, mamonous interactions. For example, ahavas chesed, he says, that's our doc I'm reading, sorry, our doc says that. Ahavas chesed is the love of kindness. That means to do more than is required of you. Because when you love something, you're looking to get as much of it as you can. So ahavas chesed, when it comes to chesed, doing more than what is required of you, to do the most you can, as much as you can. And here, Gamliel Rabbanavis suggests, chesed could be both in the physical sense and in the spiritual sense. Assisting others, both with regard to gashmius and with regard to ruchnius. Being a helpful hand, a helping hand to others, assisting others, bein begashmius, bein beruchnius, that's all part of ahavas chesed, going above and beyond to do for others. That's the love of chesed. And finally, v'hatsnea leches im elokecha. And finally, to be tsanua, to be private, to be modest, to be somewhat hidden in the manner in which one walks with God. The Targum Yonatan says this refers to one's fear of God, that one should be tsinia lehelacha bedachalta de'elokach. One's yiras shemayim is what we're referring to here. And Rash then quotes that what this means is as follows. Don't look for publicity. Just in your avodas Hashem, engage in it with modesty, with privacy. Bitznius. Whereas, for example, Mishpat and Chesed is seen by others, by definition, because it involves others, says Radak, but the Hatznei lachas emlakecha, that which I do between me and God, should be bitznius. That should be bitznius. And Chazal, Radak quotes, speak of Hatznei lachas emlakecha to refer to even Hotzas Hameis and Achnasas Kala. So Radak says, those are activities that one does with others. Even that should be done in the extent possible, bitznius. So certainly that which is not involving others is one's own private avodas Hashem. Don't make a public show of it. One's avodas Hashem should be bitznius. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal had a famous insight in which he noted that the greater the sanctity, the greater the concealment. The most holiest place on earth is the Kodesh Kodashim. No one ever saw it from the inside, except the Kohen Gadol, hopefully the holiest man, on one day of the year, Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year. Where there is greater Kedusha, there is more concealment. Hasnei Halacha Sem Lekecha perhaps then is a reference to one's aspirations to serve God with a added measure of Kedusha, the extent to which we are capable of keeping it private, right? One's emotions, one's innermost emotions are most hidden, but those so often are the ones that are most personal, right? The more intimate a relationship is, the more private it is. One doesn't share his most intimate conversations with the public. It's only with that one individual who's having that intimate conversation with. And so too in Avodas Hashem, it's a relationship one has with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The more intimate, the closer the relationship is, the more Kedusha there is in that relationship, the more it's supposed to be hidden and concealed. And that's all included in this Vatznei Lechas Im Elokecha. I was reminded when I was reading the Haftorah that on a visit that I recently had with Mr. Gary Herman, Zol Gesund Sein, one of our Kohanim in the shul, who, B'li Ayin Hara, has been zochet to arichos yamim v'shanim. And he once commented to me that his bar mitzvah haftorah was this haftorah. And this is his mantra. This is what he's lived by. Hatznei alachas, do things privately, quietly, im elokecha. He referred to that as his guiding principle in life, as his chus, doing things b'tznius, very quietly, just b'derech hayashar, b'tznius. And that itself is a tremendous, tremendous chus for one's brachos in life. And that is the concluding note of the haftarah. Okay, thank you everyone once again.